missed out on that. Oh, I can never miss a bleep if I need to. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in tech, all the big stories that are going on that have nothing to do with any of the one company that we never talk about on here. Shh. These five people that are behind me, fine fellows that they are, will be fighting over the Yahoo story, I'm sure. But until then, let's just go through them one at a time and introduce them. Starting us off, Dr. Richard Harkness, where the hell have you been, mate? We ain't seen you in ages.
You've seen me recently.
Well, I saw you on Monday, and I ate with you, and we saw each other on Tuesday as well, but...
Apart from that, it's been ages. I've been good, mate. I've been good, yeah.
Excellent, mate. We had a fantastic wheeze lined up for you, which is a lesson to you that says, do not broadcast a green screen, because you never know what's going to happen. Because anyone can put anything behind you, and but I did. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. So there you go.
It was funny.
Yeah, but don't do that, mate. Don't broadcast a green screen, mate. Put something else in front first.
Right. Okay. Because I just thought, oh, it's quite handy. It blocks out the room. Yeah. But
you're looking. You're lucky that I'm someone that would only put a pair of melons behind you.
Yeah.
And not a pair of melons. You know what I'm saying? Your reputation's screwed. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing well, and I really missed you guys last week.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that your grandmother's doing well, mate. That's kind of cool.
Thank you.
100 years old.
Not quite. She's 99.
Mate, if you've
right
lived
now,
99
so,
years, you're calling it 100's good enough for me. I'm not going to start getting picky.
Okay, fair enough. And yeah, she's doing really well. Like the hours after her hip replacement surgery, she was trying to get the doctors to commit to getting her out of bed and walking immediately. And they're like, you know, you're 99. We kind of maybe should wait a few more hours. She's like, nope, I'm doing this.
She pull a gun on him?
No, but that's only because I'm assuming that was with all of her other belongings and
she hadn't brought it with her. Yeah. Common mistake. Now, you're the king of bourbon, and tonight me and Muller are drinking Woodford Reserve.
Oh, nice.
From LeBrot and Graham. Is it any good?
Woodford Reserve, it's nice.
That's like it's a bit shit, actually, isn't it?
That response was
it's a bit shit.
Okay, no, you misinterpreted what I meant. No, it is a nice bourbon. I do like it a lot, and I don't have a bottle right now, but that's because it turns out I have limited counter space.
But
I prefer Stranahan's.
I've never heard of it.
It's a local.
I've got to say, it's as much as Muller could do to get me even drink this mug, because I don't drink. I don't drink bourbon normally. I wouldn't drink it straight, that's for sure. I might drink it with a bit of Coke, but I've got to say, shouts to Ken Ray, because Ken Ray spent a lot of time with me in the Chieftain at Macworld a couple of years ago, trying to educate me on bourbon, and it was a bit lost on me, I have to say, because. It's a different taste entirely, but I'm glad that we're not drinking something that's utter shit. It's only partially shit. Thank you.
No, it's a really nice bourbon.
Okay, don't backpedal now. Terry, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm good.
Where the fudging hell have you been, apart from Turkey, the last time you were supposed to be on?
I've been, I don't know, I've just been busy. What can I say? I think I did stand you up, but then I did make it up to you by coming to the bash.
You came to the bash, man. Thank you so much. No.
That was awesome. I say make it up to you. You kind of rewarded me for my absence there. It was lovely. I had a great time.
It's a good place, mate, isn't it? There's nice people there, and it's a good time. If you're not already booked as well, get yourself booked into the Travelodge, because it's £20 a night at the moment, which is unbelievable. And I appreciate that it's a very basic hotel, don't get me wrong, but you don't need somewhere to lie down and get up in the morning, because you're coming over to my place on Sunday for breakfast, so... Get it booked. 1st of July for everyone that wants to bother. Book the hotel now. that when she's already booked the hotel, and it cost her £22.
Wow.
Yeah. Now's the time to book the hotel. You could walk away from 22 quid. And based on the exchange rate, Jeff, you're walking away from $22. So now
that's insane.
Now is the time to book it, most definitely.
You know, I should just go ahead and do that, because I've come up with this grand plan where I'm going to, what I want to do is take some time, you know, like a couple weeks, where I fly over and Angela and I come out and we just have a good old time and coordinate it so it happens when the Big Bash is happening too.
Well, you come and stay with us, mate, because Birmingham is the center of everywhere. We are the center of England. So literally the center of England is geographically 3 miles from us.
See, that's perfect. Also, I get to hang out with you.
Apart from Scotland, which is like 5 hours, but there we go. We'll put you up. We can't put you up on the night of the bash, but we'll put you up every other night. No worries. Next to him is Camps. How you doing, mate?
I'm really good. Yeah, I'm good.
Are you recovering from being dad, mother, carer?
Yeah, she's doing well now. She's absolutely on the mend. So it's going to be a little bit yet until she's totally back to how she was pre-Seth. But yeah, everything's improving.
Dude, you must have so many brownie points.
I hope so.
You have been. I mean, I've been watching from Twitter and Slack, and you've been like a new man. You're a 90s man into the 21st century, mate. If you ever get divorced from Angela Wright, and she says that it's irreconcilable differences or something like that, just call me, because I'll go, you're talking out your ass, woman.
If that happens, I'm asking for my penny back.
Mate, you have been everything.
Needs must. Don't worry, I'm not too far off handing the reins fully back to her now.
And you're going back to work as well.
Yeah, back at work now. So school run in the morning, straight into work, back home on a night, and doing what we need to do at home. But we're nearly there.
I just want to say to all those feminists out there who are going, that's what we all do all the time. No. No. There's a proper man right there.
Yeah, but he eats vegetarian curry.
Right there.
Take my bow.
And last but by no means least, where the hell's the rest of your Bart Bouchards? Because you look a lot thinner than the last time I saw you.
I was going to say it's my webcam, but no, I have been working my bloody tail off, so thank you for noticing.
Mate, you look like you've been in Auschwitz.
I have been on my bike, which is perhaps a little bit less unpleasant.
Just go easy, mate, because you are skinny as hell at the moment, I have to say. According to the wide angle.
I am 0.2 of a kilogram from my target weight, so I am pretty much at the end of my 9 months of being very good.
Bloody hell, mate. Well done. Absolutely well done. I wish I could join you. I've been trying, but failing miserably. But I have been out on the bike, so.
Well, good. Yeah, so I've been doing about an hour and a half a day for the last 9 months in wind, rain, and rain.
Every day you've been doing an hour and a half?
That's pretty much
doing about 1,200 calories a day on the bike.
Wow.
Yeah, I do about half an hour.
Well, that's still, at a good pace, that's still 350 calories.
Yeah, no. The thing is, I've been doing 14 miles an hour average.
So no, you were in these miles an hour people.
Oh, all right, so that's 20 kilometres an hour average.
That's fine.
That's good. Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
So I get to the end of doing 5 miles, and it says I've done 180 calories. And I'm like, I'm 160.
What are you tracking with?
I'm 161 kilos. To move that at that pace is not right.
No, whatever your tracker is, it's talking bollocks.
Thank you, mate. It's not just me, then.
No, that yeah, makes like I totally no, wrong. No, that's just wrong. At that sort of pace, you should be burning 500 an hour.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
And if you get that up another 2 or 3 kilometers, then you should be burning about 600-700 an hour.
And before anyone writes in and says, "Look, what the watch says is not necessarily the actual," I appreciate that. That's very kind, but.
So your Apple Watch is telling you that?
Oh, my Apple Watch has been all over the place, mate. I've done the save 5 mile loop before 3 times, and the Apple Watch has calibrated at 3 different distances entirely. It's bollocks.
Do you have the phone with you at the time?
I do, and it's still got it utterly wrong. The phone's always with me because it's on my quad lock, because I love quad lock, and it's on the front of the bike, and I'm listening to, this week I listened to Hall & Oates on the way around, because they were playing live at the Hollywood Bowl, And
sweet.
No. Seriously, I've been listening. I've got like an exercise like mix that I listen to regularly when I'm cycling. But I saw a tweet from Will Wheaton that says he went to the Hollywood Bowl the night before and saw Hall & Oates. I'm like, oh God, one-on-one, Maneater and all that kind of stuff. That'd be great. Siri, play Hall & Oates. And it did all the way around. It was great. It was fantastic. It was brilliant. And I actually recorded my fastest time ever.
Well, there you go. So that's clearly what you need to do more often.
I need to go back to the 80s when I was thin. the week in tech, what's gone on? What's been big? What's been happening? Yahoo has lost half a billion passwords. So if you're with Yahoo, then you might want to go and change your password. There's been a few prompts for that. Allegedly, Apple is going to be buying McLaren, but no one sees that anyway, so it doesn't matter. We've dealt with that in the last show. Everyone's brought a story. Who's got the first story? Who wants to start us off with? Oh, by the way, sorry, before we start, I got an email from Rick Cobb. Now, last week, we postulated about DNS and how it did or didn't work. And a lot of people have written in saying that we were talking complete bollocks. I just want to say I wasn't talking complete bollocks. I was talking partial bollocks, and it was Muller that was talking complete bollocks.
Do you know what I do? One of my main responsibilities in work is?
DNS?
Yeah.
Right, so let me read the email from Rick, and then you can correct it or correct us. Did you listen to last week's show by any chance, Mark?
No, I did not, I'm afraid.
No one listens to this show, so it's okay.
We've had a week of hell in work, so I'm just behind everything.
Okay. So Rick says, here we go, Rick says, enjoyed your discussion on DNS last week. It got me thinking I had to dredge the memory banks to find my IT training member how it all works. So, one, workstation requests IP for britishtechnetwork.com from providers for the DNS server. Two, providers DNS queries a root server for a .com top-level domain and server address, 13 sets of root servers in more than 300 locations around the world. Three, providers DNS queries the .com TLD server for address and the second-level server for britishnetwork.com. Thousands of TLD servers supported by root located strategically around the world. Four, providers DNS server queries the second-level server for the address of btnsnetwork.com, also known as the authoritative server for the domain. And five, providers DNS responds to workstation with IP address for britishtechnetwork.com. Seems that the weak point is in who updates the top-level domain servers. They must contain a reference to every authoritative DNS around the world. It sounds like BTN is missing from some of those TLDs, or more than likely the providers' DNS servers have a corrupted cache. Keep up the great shows. Thanks, Rick, aka OK Google.
Now, doesn't sound a million miles off.
There you go. So what I was saying last week was, you can change your domain name server for all you like on your software. You know, you go into network preferences and you can put in 194.168.4.100 or you can put 8.8.8.8. It doesn't matter. If your service provider isn't interested in us, we can't get through. That's what I said last week. And that's right, isn't it?
That's no, only if they're actively blocking you. So some ISPs, I think Sky at one stage did this. Sky had this habit of, you're going to use our resolvers. So basically, DNS servers fall into two categories. Those whose job it is to find things, which are called resolvers, and those whose job it is to advertise things, which are called authoritative servers. So there is only one authoritative server for your domain, but each of us is using our own resolver. So maybe you program your router to use Google's, which is 8.8.8.8, or maybe you have to use your ISPs. And Sky, I believe, forced you to use Sky. And then they proceeded to have too long of caching. They proceeded to be basically awful at doing their job. And that caused their customers issues. And I know ISPs have a habit of doing this kind of thing. So technically speaking, a DNS record is supposed to be cached for no longer than its time to live, or TTL. And some DNS servers and ISPs are just too lazy to obey. So the TTL might say 30 minutes, and they might keep it for 5 days. Well, because that's easier on our server, and they're just telling porcupines to the internet.
Right. But
so basically, the internet's run by a bunch of jerks.
Well, the ISP half of it is,
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I mean, who here is happy with their ISP?
Well, no, so the thing is, the we've got people that write to us, and we've done everything we possibly can at the back end to make sure that our DNS propagates properly. But there are certain ISPs, and I note Alaska. If you're in Alaska, you're probably not listening to me, so who cares anyway? But there's a lot of servers in Alaska that just don't grab us at all. At all. And there's nothing we can do to make that happen. And that was my point, was it's down to the local providers. It's got nothing to do with us.
You can see actually the whole process with the lovely terminal command called dig space plus trace space, the name of the domain you want to look up, and then you can watch the whole process happen and you can see where it stops.
Right. Eta Peach says in the chat room, I had to change my DNS to Google because Comcast wouldn't resolve for BTN.
Yeah, and whereas I've just resolved you there, lickety-split, full trace, everything looks absolutely normal.
Thank you, mate. We're good. Awesome.
Yep.
Wonderful. The Week in Tech, what's going on? Starting us off, Campion, you put in the chat room straight away, Chris, that Allo is coming.
Yeah.
It's another it's another beta service from Google that'll end in 2 years.
Let's see how long this one lasts. So, Chew. Yeah.
No, fellas, come on, let's stay positive, man.
So back in May, Google announced at I.O. that Allo was coming, and this week it's landed in the US. So for those that don't know, Google is a messaging app. It's AI based, and according to Google, it's set to rule the world. It's going to be a competitor for WhatsApp, for probably for iMessage as well in some respects from a cross platform perspective. Well, and the idea of it is, you have the app. I'm sure there'll be a web version as well. You can chat with your friends, but it's got some other little nifty little gadgets thrown in, as in you can at Google in your chat, and you can essentially put use Google to listen and do a search for you. So for instance, you and me and you could be having a chat, and as part of that chat we want to go out to the cinema. At Google, what films are on tonight? And Google goes off and it brings some information back and brings it straight into the chat. The advantage there being, we don't need to move away from our iMessage chat or our WhatsApp chat, go to Google, do a search separately, and then copy and paste that information back into our Allo chat. In addition to that it's from an AI perspective, it learns, it's listening, it's learning, it's understanding how we contact each other, how we talk to each other, the key phrases, for instance, that I use, and rather than me having to type in every single response, it brings up almost predictive text, like some typical responses that I might want to use. So in other words, it saves time. You just hit the predictive button and off the response goes. So in terms of the functionality, looks quite clever and quite cool. Obviously, we know Google work, and Google's collecting your information.
So hang on, can we keep it positive for the first bit, and then can we do the negative shit afterwards?
Yeah, the negative shit was supposed
because
to be.
Because it'd be too easy to go into the, here we go, two years down the line, beat a walk away.
And no, I suppose this is where I'm going to edge into the negative stuff now, sir, because in I.O., Google talked about the way that the messages were going to be stored. And the messages would be held transiently rather than indefinitely by Google. However, at launch, Google have had to have essentially changed the way that's going to work, unless you go incognito and have a private encrypted end-to-end chat. And what Google are going to do is keep those messages, keep our conversation in chat live, essentially until I or you decide to delete them, and then Google are going to use that information to build their AI up. Now, I noticed that you've picked very, very similar story to me, so did you want to cut in there?
I'll cut in and just say, holy crap, never use Allo. Just never, ever use Allo, period. Don't do it. Okay, so the key thing here with Allo, the way it does all the predictive responses for you, is because Google is reading every single chat. Every single chat. So it doesn't matter what you type to someone, Google is reading it.
Jeff, did you remember we were starting on the positive? This is the positive.
I love how Allo is the same forward and backwards, except that it's not. That would be Olaf. I tried you and I tried to pull up something. I really tried.
So you're only working on the principle that Google's stealing all your information regardless, and that's it.
Yeah, well, see, this is a little deceptive the way they're doing this, because they're advertising this as this great end-to-end encrypted chat service that does all this really cool stuff for you. But the thing is, you can't have any security in your chats at all and have the features that make Allo a stand-apart product.
Yeah. So, there's no way that that Allo can absolutely bring back all of the searches, the at Google references, unless it is reading and listening to everything that you're saying.
It just creeps me out.
They're storing it indefinitely.
Yes.
Their terms and services have basically said if the law enforcement asks for it, they'll give them it.
Well, they can't refuse anyway in most countries. If there's a judicial oversight of that, then I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, but, well, and I think that's the difference here, is that it's unclear if Google would resist handing anything over when a law enforcement agency asks. And that's different from getting a court order, getting a subpoena to get the information.
That's, you know, at the moment that someone goes boo and Google go, oh, have what you want, then I've got a problem with that. But if they say, okay, look, you know, given proper judicial process, we will give over whatever's requested, I don't have any issue with that. Is this anonymous gathering, or is this specific personal gathering as well, though? I mean, are we talking about the fact that they are storing everything all the time for anonymous data of trends, or are we talking about they're gathering? Holy crap!
My understanding is they're gathering information on you to build up their profile of you.
So it is you and Rankin. It is Bart Bouchotts. It is Richard Harkness. It is Terry. It is.
I mean, they basically have a bunch of fields in a database they want to take the best guess for. They're trying to figure out what age you are, which end you are, how much you make, where you live. They're trying to figure out all of these things about you and populate a profile, which they then use to advertise at you. I mean, their entire business model is you don't pay us, but, you know, we use you to pay ourselves.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that they're probably all the data that they collect, they sort of amalgamate sort of and look for trends and patterns that, you know, like, I don't know, people in their 30s tend to like to go to the cinema to watch this kind of film and, you know, that sort of stuff
Which on a trend basis you wouldn't have a problem with, Richard, but surely on a, you know, they want to know what, they don't want to know what we do, they want to know what Richard Harkness does.
Yeah.
Right. If you talk about, I'm pretty sure if you were to talk about your love of Lexus cars or something, that you'd soon find ads for Lexus cars appearing on random places on the net or Google ads were served to you.
I think part of my nervousness with this, Bart, is around, so we're having a conversation and we say, right, we want to go to a cinema, what films are showing? If you've got several different cinemas in the Leeds area and they're all paying Google, or some of them aren't paying them different rates, what is Google going to send back? Is it going to send me send me to the cinema and to the listing of the cinema that's paying them the highest fee or the highest getting the highest click rate through there? They're going to build ads in somehow. You know, is it going to be when I ask about restaurants, are they going to send me the restaurants that are paying Google to advertise their services and the coffee shops and things like that? Because there's no way that Google are just going to not incorporate adverts somewhere down this line in one way or another.
Terry, you had a point.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm pretty much kind of, you've said it yourself, I think, Ewan, before, that, you know, if you're going to use these services, expect your privacy to be abused, expect that to happen.
No free lunches.
That's it, yeah. You know, and that, to be fair, is the right ethos. You know, we're all singing from the same hymn sheet here. I think I've always kind of had that middle ground for me where I've accepted that, you know, I'm allowing Google now to look at my email so that it can tell me stuff that, you know, I've got British Tech Neck podcast tonight or whatever without me having to set a reminder. I don't mind that, but the reality is I know that that comes at a cost, that I'm going to start receiving emails, or sorry, not emails, I'm going to start seeing adverts for, I don't know, podcasting technology. Ultimately, further to that, I am happy almost to receive that kind of advertising because actually I'm interested in that. But I agree completely with what you were just saying then about the fact that it depends if that's going to be a sponsored result. You know, am I going to get an advert because this person... Am I going to get an advert because actually that's useful and I should be using that? The same with the cinema, you know. Is it going to show me something that's in Kidderminster where I've got Bridge North 5 minutes up the road? That kind of thing. And so I kind of disagree with that, but essentially I can't... What can I say? You know, if I'm going to pay more as a business to Google for my service to be provided to my customers or potential customers, then yeah, I damn well want to make sure that mine's going to be seen over the free person in Bridge North.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, well, I mean, if you throw your arms in your ear and you go, okay, hang on, you know, this is horrific. Google Allo has brought something out that is tracking me personally and puts my name to it, and woe is me. But actually, how's that different from Facebook? How's that different from Twitter? Exactly. I don't see...
Okay, but the world isn't broken up into Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Those three companies basically are the same. Their business model is exactly the same. Charge the customer nothing, and in exchange, expect privacy. So basically, no such thing as a free lunch. You pay with your privacy. But there is an alternative. You can give $5 a month or whatever to Microsoft to have Microsoft give you an Office 365 account where you get all sorts of cool, fancy whiz bangs, and you pay with your wallet instead of your privacy.
Or you
can give Apple a few hundred euros or dollars or pounds and buy... you know, a not cheap device and then get services from Apple in exchange for having paid for the hardware.
But that's,
you're always going to pay. And so it's just a matter of, do I prefer to pay with my privacy or with my wallet?
But that's not a direct, that's not a direct comparison there, Bart, because these Allo is a social network.
So right.
It's not comparing against Apple and Microsoft. It's comparing against Twitter and Facebook. And both of those are already bending you over for your privacy. So what's the point? Why worry?
But Allo is surely a competitor to iMessage rather than a competitor to Facebook.
No, Allo's more of a competitor to Facebook, surely.
I think it's WhatsApp.
It's messaging.
It's a messaging app.
Facebook Messenger.
I'd put it in competition with WhatsApp and iMessage and Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
So that means that my point is valid. Like, you can choose to be an Apple customer and you can choose to go the iMessage route, where there is none of this privacy invasion carrying on. But to get to open that door, you've handed over hundreds of euros or dollars or pounds. So, you know, you take your choices.
I don't think this is comparable to iMessage. I think this is a far more open social area than iMessages would be. Because iMessage is only really bothered about sending text to people who are non-iCloud users and then database text to those that are iCloud users. That's
and group text and stickers and all this whiz-bang stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not about... this is far more akin to Facebook, I would have said, or WhatsApp. And that in that case, I don't see how this is... You know, like I said, throw your arms in the air when it's something completely different that goes way beyond the envelope of what's already out there. But... You know, however many billions of people already subscribed to giving away their data already. This is not going any further than that. I'm not saying it's right, don't get me wrong, but don't say that you shouldn't subscribe to this because it's horrific in terms of privacy when there's tons of stuff out there that's already horrific in terms of privacy.
Okay, well, I'm a person who's not a Facebook user because I've decided that's not a trade-off I want to make. So I feel perfectly valid in saying I'm not an Allo person either because there's a trade-off I don't want to make.
And I totally accept that then, Bart. Fair enough. But the rest of the world does use Facebook.
Not all of it.
I think the reason they're getting hold over the calls is because they've gone back on the promises that they made at Google I.O.
Yeah.
In what respect?
Well, they promised privacy and then didn't deliver it.
Yeah, exactly. They were good. They said it was going to be private, and it's not at all.
Yeah, private as in within the ecosphere, though, ecosphere, or private in terms of we're not going to use your data for anything else.
I understood it was supposed to be encrypted and end to end, and still do all this clever bot stuff at the same time.
Right. And anonymous.
But
they've realised they can't do that and be anonymous and get good AI.
That's a problem then. If they've gone back on a real promise, that's a problem.
Well, I think that's the difference between doing the maybe it's got something to do with the difference of doing the server at the, sorry, doing the AI at the server level, whereas Apple's approaching doing it on the device.
DeepPad's made a comment in the chat room that's, in terms of privacy, listen carefully, I shall say this only once. Hello.
That's Allo Allo. It's the second version of Google's product.
Yeah, if you're American and you're listening, just Google Allo Allo and then realize that the first season was funny, the rest was just shit.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
I think the first two are actually okay.
So there is a Fawlty Towers theory, right, on comedy. You all know this, right?
12 episodes good, 13th episode terrible?
No, so two seasons.
He's
funny, and that's it. And if you look at Ricky Gervais, I don't believe that everything he's done is funny, don't get me wrong, but you do two seasons of it, stop. And The Office, the original Office, two seasons, done. Extras, two seasons, done.
Are you being served two seasons, then repeat.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And hey, now reboot.
Oh, the reboot. And now Muller's watched the reboot of Porridge, and he said it was actually pretty decent. It was using the old scripts, so.
No, it wasn't using the old scripts. Mm. It was using some of the old jokes.
Rich, you've put an interesting one in next. I like this story. Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan pledge $3 billion to fight disease and say, can we cure all disease in our children's lifetime? Speak, doctor. Heal thyself.
Oh, I don't know.
Heal thy children's self.
Yeah. I'll go on a small rant. I'm not sure.
Go on a small rant. That'd be cool. Hang on, and I'll put a pair of melons behind your head. Oh, you're on the wrong line now. That's not worked. That's even worse.
What?
Because you're on a different line.
Right. Good, I've messed it up for you.
You messed it up completely. There we go.
But now.
Richard Harkness with a pair of melons.
So this story is Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, have decided to pledge $3 billion towards fighting disease. And the idea is, as far as I can gather, they're going to give money to help other companies in the process of investigating diseases with the idea that they're kind of going to cure or be able to treat all diseases before our current children's lifetime, which seems an enormous goal, but there you go. I suppose bald people are the ones who do well.
You're not old enough to remember the Nixon war on cancer, are you?
No.
So the Nixon war on cancer was, Jeff, you are old enough because you're the same age as me, but a bit older. A little bit older, enough older to make me say, was that 75?
Nixon was.
No, it was earlier than that.
It was earlier than that. So Nixon war on cancer was in the early 70s. That was the and he was going to stamp out cancer before the end of the decade. He, this is the kind of irony of the fact that Kennedy said he was going to stick a man on the moon. I've got melons behind me. Who did that? You bastards. you've got
to be fair, Ewan, your melons do look nice.
Thanks, mate. You've got Kennedy, who said we're going to put a man on the moon, and everyone scoffed. And then and Nixon came out and said we're going to eradicate cancer by the end of the decade. And he should have said we're going to put people back on the moon to live permanently, because it would have been far easier than what he set out himself. I mean, if you're talking about child cancer, there's massive amounts. I've done some work for Click Sargent in the last couple of months, and Click Sargent have done massive amounts to deal with cancer in children. I've made massive inroads as well into survivability of children. You've got like a 90% chance of surviving cancer as a child now, which is massive in compared to the adult population.
Yeah. It's amazing the progress they've made with them, especially like with the lymphomas and stuff like that. But that was all kind of lovely and warming, and then I remembered it was Mark Zuckerberg, so I put my cynic hat on and thought, what's he really at here? There's got to be an element of tax write-off going on with this, I'm sure. but it always looks good, doesn't it? And 3 billion. So I had a look earlier, and Google made 1.5 billion in profit in the first quarter of this year alone. So it's not a great deal of money, really, as far as
you know he's not part of Google, right?
You what, sorry?
You know he's not part of Google, right?
Did I say Google?
You said Google, not Facebook. Yeah, dude.
Oh, sorry, Facebook. Sorry.
unless you're telling us something we don't know.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, maybe that's something we don't know yet. So there's that. And what else was I going to say about it? So 3 billion, yeah. I also had a look into this because I knew that. So obviously, if you're going to be treating these illnesses and things, you're going to need to come up with drugs and things like that. And you're not looking far shy of 3 billion for the cost of one single drug development these days.
No way.
So yeah. and that's one drug for one condition. Now, granted, I think the idea is that they're going to be helping to develop technology and methodologies and equipment and things like that, which could be used on a more widespread basis. But when you think about it in those kind of terms, that it's literally the cost of one drug, it really kind of brings that 3 billion into focus.
Yeah, no, the drug companies are making a lot of money. And that's an understatement.
They are, but they're finding it very difficult to do now. They've had their. I've got some friends who work in the pharmaceutical industry, and they've all said they've had their heyday. They've had their breakthrough products like statins and ACE inhibitors and things like that, which have made them a bucket of money, but they're running out of ideas fast. They really are, which is why they're looking at things like cancer drugs and biologics and things like that. But they're charging an absolute fortune for them because it's costing them an absolute fortune to come up with something new.
How much has Bill and Melinda Gates put into healthcare?
I don't.
Cause that's a huge amount of money that they've put in. I know there's other things as well that they put their money into.
They've put into more of secondary programs rather than primary healthcare.
Right.
In that sense, they're talking about making clean water or roads or survivability issues rather than looking at attacking disease at a primary level.
Ah, fair enough. So a bit of a difference.
So the article I've got in front of us here said the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave $10.2 billion through 2014 to global health initiatives like fighting AIDS, tuberculosis and malaria.
Wow.
So yeah, he's given away a lot of money as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it's wonderful that anyone gives away any money to any of these sort of things. It's fantastic, but... It's good PR for Facebook.
I think the difference is that Bill and Melinda Gates don't do it on a stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
They've got an amount of money that they give away, and it's well documented because they can't not document it, but actually they give it away because they want to give it away because they can't spend it in 10 lifetimes. And I think there's a few people around the world probably do that who are billionaires who give away an awful lot, but they don't stand on a stage and say that they're going to give that amount away, which is where the Zuckerbergs have fallen down, perhaps.
That's an interesting one there, actually, because J.K. Rowling has...
J.K. Rowling, she gives a massive amount.
That's it. She's actually taken herself off the rich list by donating money. that was a headline last week. So, it's things like that that you just, we don't realise that she didn't get on a stage doing that. She just did it. And I think her quote, I can't find her quote now, but she was quoted as to why she was doing it. And she was basically saying that, what all this wealth is to make the world a better place, basically. I'm paraphrasing massively. I can't remember exactly what she said.
It's good enough for me.
It's basically along those lines.
I mean, well done to Mark and Priscilla for doing it, because the money could stay in their pocket. They could do nothing with it. And
we sit here being cynical about it, but actually, spot on. Fair play to them for doing something.
99% of their Facebook shares, they could live 10 lifetimes and still not spend what's left over after that. So good on them for sticking money away and trying to help it. The only thing that bothers, and I don't have a problem with this as a goal, and this is where I struggle with the idea of goals and targets, because goals are things that are way off in the distance and targets are things that you can actually achieve. And you set the goal of creating zero child illness by the end of the next century, this century, there are certain diseases that defy the possibility of eradication. You know, it's all very well if you talk at the bacterial level, correct me if I'm going wrong here, Richard, but at the bacterial level, the ability to cure, in inverted commas, is limited by the fact of the bacteria's mutagenic capabilities and its ability to move and change. And if you talk about viruses, they're even worse for that kind of thing. And even if you talk about cancers, you know, there's a lot of suggestion that cancers are viruses, in inverted commas, that then will mutate themselves and create new variants that are impossible to trace anyway. You know, cancers
they're staggeringly complicated what they're doing, you know, and sometimes they're actively kind of rewriting your genetic code whilst they're in your body and stuff like that, you know, on the cellular level. So cracking cancer is a monumental task, and may need individualized therapies depending on your gene code and stuff like that, and that's really, really, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. Maybe it is, but it's an enormous goal that they've proposed today, and it's kind of a bit pie in the sky, to be quite honest. They may as well have said we're going to have a teleporter by the year 2020. You know, it's all good and well coming out and saying, yeah, you've got about as much chance, really. So we'll see. And I mean, God help in a sense, because the NHS is going to collapse if this is this ever becomes possible. We haven't got chance.
I think the other thing is people go, 3 billion, wow, that's a massive amount. Let's put that in the NHS. 3 billion isn't a week. It's not even close to a week in the NHS. It's
peanuts.
300, you know, the Brexit claim of 350 million a week, 350 million a week is nothing. It's absolutely nothing against the total bill of the NHS. It's not even close. So it's ridiculous amount in terms of money. And that, like I said, a single drug campaign would eat all of that in a heartbeat, as Richard says. Well done. Thank you. It's 3 billion that the world would need, but effectiveness of use is a real question, I've got to say. R&D isn't cheap, but they have to make their cash back before the patent runs out on the drug companies so they can go generic, says Deepan.
Oh yeah, they milk that baby as long as they can.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
And they do little tricks as well, like they ever so slightly change the molecule so that they can continue to keep it as a patented drug.
I think Pfizer is shitting themselves at the moment because isn't the patent on Viagra about to run out?
Maybe. I think one of their statins as well is always going to run out and they're screwed once that happens.
Yeah,
I was thinking they were boned.
No, it's the thing. The thing is, I've been buying all those variants in the service stations and the motorway service stations. They're crap. Good story, mate. Thank you very much. Next one. Hang on. Why Apple was right to remove the iPhone headphone jack? Who put that one in?
How are we not allowed to talk about Apple?
You're not allowed to talk Apple on here.
Well, this isn't about Apple, as you know.
Oh, God. Pull it back, Terry. Pull it back.
As you know, I like my audio.
You do? You were the one that put in £500 headphones that were...
That's right. They're at £800, and I've actually got them for £500. Which,
are you wearing them now?
Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah, these are the babies.
Really? Do I sound luscious in them, or do I sound shit?
Useful. You sound like liquid gold in my ears.
Thanks, mate. I've had a few women.
Did it just get hot in here?
Kiss a kiss, you sexy bastard.
There we go. But no. So, I absolutely, wholeheartedly think that we need this as an audio consuming society. We love our music. You know, we've seen it with the rise of of the streaming services, whether it be Google or Amazon Prime or whoever you like, Tidal. The reality is the format in which we consume these the music is obsolete. And this article actually is very, very good at explaining why it's obsolete. I mean, we're talking about a headphone jack that's over 50 years old that it states on there. I'd like to find the fact that actually when it was made. But it goes on to explain how the conversion between the digital and the analog is at a cost of the cable itself, and what actually goes through. So I do implore you all to have a look at that. It's a good article, as I say. So the reason why I kind of came at this article was I kind of thought when we heard about Apple removing the headphone jack and all that lot, my first thought that actually this is really good news. It's going to mean, and it already has, that the likes of Bluetooth 5, which is coming out in 2017, is going to mean better compression on audio, but actually audio HD. So
you know that's an oxymoron, don't you?
What, HD audio?
No, better compression.
Better compression.
Compression's fudge impression, mate.
Okay, how do I say it so it's not an oxymoron?
So bigger, when you make it smaller, can't be better.
What you can do, though, is improve the algorithms for your compression. So two files at the same size with different compression algorithms, one can sound better than the other.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's lossless versus lossy compression. And if it's lossy compression, the question is how lossy.
So just
it's lossy. What? The?
No, it's not lossy. No.
Let's lose all the frequencies you can't hear. Let's do everything below 20 hertz and above 20 kilohertz. Well, actually, they weren't there in the first place.
Okay, but that's not what lossy means. Right? Lossy can go much further than that. Lossy can start to say, well, we go down to just 8 bits. We can go down to 4 bits. We can go down to 1 bit. It's either on or it's off. I mean, lossy compression isn't just throw away the frequencies you don't want. It's also smush together the data in the frequencies we do have. You know, there is a big difference.
So you're providing an enhanced service using the word smush.
Yeah, smush.
This is going to be big.
Oh, or man, small alive, push shots. You've been cycling too much, mate. Not eating enough carbs.
But no,
sorry, Terry, as you were.
No, it's all right. I was literally just saying that. So just for a title here, I'll paste it into the chat and repeat it as well. But Bluetooth 5 quadruples range, double speed, increases data broadcasting capacity by 800%. So that
sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what we need. We need that push. There's things that happen in tech like this that actually do have a knock-on effect for the better, and I really do think that this is it. You know, we've got
you know, that's got nothing to do with the removal of the headphone jack. It's to do with the initial compression of the file, right?
Say that again, sorry.
You know that, so those great earphones didn't hear that. So just saying again.
The audio cut out, it wasn't the
yeah, right, no. So you do realise that loss of compression or that improvement in compression has got nothing to do with the earphone socket. It's to do with the compression of the original file.
Yes, no, I know that. I'm using the example of losing that the headphone jack to spur on the kind of technology advances in wireless audio streaming.
Irrelevant can do to do with the compression of the original file.
Well, no, Bluetooth 4 has really low bandwidth, and Bluetooth 4, it's squeezing audio through, is terrible. It's very lossy. Bluetooth, this is great that it can actually get the data through properly.
But you can't hear anything better than the original compression of the file.
Oh, sure, that's a limiting factor, but on Bluetooth 4, you're hearing 256, worse.
You're screwed. That's it.
All right, but on Bluetooth 4, you're hearing worse than an MP3.
I'm not debating degrees of shit associated with the shit standard.
But that's important, right? Bluetooth 4 is like a really, really narrow little hole you're trying to squeeze audio through. So the limiting factor with a Bluetooth 4 headset is not your audio quality, the quality of the file. The limiting factor is that Bluetooth 4 sucks. But Bluetooth 5, the limiting factor becomes your audio file, and that's massive improvement.
Let's start at WAV.
Hang on.
And I fully admit that WAV is slightly compressed, okay? Let's start with WAV.
And then
let's work down. Let's say WAV is the top standard, which it isn't, but let's say WAV is the top standard, and then let's work down. MP3, at the maximum compression that you're ever going to get in the iTunes store or any other store that's out there that does audio, or Spotify, or whoever, it's still shit in comparison to WAV, and WAV is pretty shit to start with. And you're telling me, and you're convincing me, that the removal of the device that allows me to have a better flow through of the... If I put FLAC on my iPhone, if I could, then and played it, then my audio jack would deal with that without anything. It would be there's no issues. It just plays it, and that's the end of it, if it could.
So the drawback from the actual jack. So this is the point I'm trying to make. So the drawback of the actual jack is that the digital analog converter alters the audio signal before it actually reaches the headphones, which allows for data loss in that itself.
But that's the shit hardware. That's not to do with the format.
Losing the hardware, losing that jack means that you can expand the...
You can pump the shit faster.
It means you can have a better DAC in the headphones. So the quality of your DAC is determined by the quality of your headphones, not set in stone by the iPhone.
So you don't think that the better option would be to improve the size of the data storage so that you could push a higher quality file through the existing connection?
No.
The existing connection is what I'm saying is the issue. The audio file in, not the audio file out. If you put... I get what you're saying, you and I absolutely 100% get what you're saying. You're saying that, you know, shit goes in, shit comes out. It doesn't matter about the connection. But, and you increase the storage, you can put a better file with, whether it's a FLAC file or whatever, and you'll get better audio. But you will get that disturbance, that digital to analog conversion through the headphone jack, through that 3.5 millimeter, and that's the issue. So what I'm saying is that by removing that buffer, you can put high resolution audio files such as FLAC onto your device if you're allowed to. I think, am I right in saying that the iPhone has native better memory as it is? I don't know if it's got FLAC support, but anyway. So that
definitely hasn't.
Well, the iTunes app doesn't, but you can stick apps on it that do.
Yeah.
So you now open that door to have high-resolution audio through a streaming method without the loss that you would get through the 3.5mm jack. There's, you know, I know the... where am I? I've lost it. But essentially, we do hear, we don't necessarily hear some of the frequencies below 20 or above so many thousands. I can't remember what it
20
was.
20 kilohertz. But, 20 and 20, 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz is the audible range.
That's right.
And you've lost that after you're 12 based on the fact you're a male.
That's true as well. The actual studies show, though, that your brain does respond to those frequencies. So
it can't hear them.
But they can harmonize with others.
It can't hear them, guys. I mean,
it can't
just
hear it. You can't, just because you can't hear it doesn't mean it's not there. Your brain...
No, I'm sorry, Ian, but stuff you can't see does have impact.
Thank you, Darren Brown.
Feel better if it's transmitting infrared.
Right. So let's lose some science here, if you possibly can. You can hear absolutely fudge all below 20 hertz. Are we clear? You can hear absolutely fudge all below 20 kilohertz. That's it. That's the human range of hearing, absolutely right there. From the age of 12 onwards, males will lose the ability to hear all frequencies from 20 hertz down until they hit about 16 to 14 kilohertz. Women will do it exactly the same, but they'll do it 20 years later. So a woman at 60 years of age will hear the same amount of noise at the higher frequencies that a man at 40 years of age will hear. Okay, you cannot hear probably below about 4 or above 14 kilohertz to 16 kilohertz once you're beyond 20 years of age. That's science, fellas. That's the end of it.
And the science part...
And most of what you want to actually hear is at 4 kilohertz, because that's the maximum peak range. 2 to 6 kilohertz is the peak range of audible hearing of the human, full stop, male or female. So everything you listen to is probably between 2 and 6 kilohertz anyway. You guys sap up the shit like you wouldn't believe, don't you?
That's shit. Sorry,
no, it's
that's,
not.
That's,
no,
it is.
It's not shit.
Right, the DAC was in the iPhone, shoved into that headphone jack. There was nothing you could do about it. You got what Apple gave you, and it was an okay DAC, but it wasn't the world's best DAC. Now the DAC can be in the headphone, so if people want to put in a better DAC, they can put in a better DAC. That is better if you're an audiophile.
You haven't responded to anything I've just said there, Bart.
Right, because the frequency doesn't matter at all about whether or not the DAC is distorting the audio.
Absolutely.
A digital analog converter is imperfect. The less imperfect it is, the less it distorts your audio. It has nothing to do with the frequencies. It's to do with the quality within the frequencies you do hear.
But the frequencies that you hear in higher ranges are irrelevant anyway. That's my point.
Yeah, my point is the quality of the ones you do hear is what we're talking about, not the ones we don't hear.
But the point is that if you look at the compression that takes place in the files that you download and listen to, the compression is so great that it's irrelevant.
No, that still has to be turned from digital to analog, and there are still imperfections and distortions in that process. And the less of them you can have, the better. You're going from a digital format to an analog. So how you do that transformation makes a difference to the quality of the sound.
I responded based on the fact that Terry made a comment about frequency. And I'm sorry, guys, but the frequency is absolute.
So what I was trying to say is brain imaging shows that individuals do respond to higher frequencies. And that's why I said to you, just because you can't hear it, it doesn't mean that your brain's not responding to those frequencies.
You do feel that. No,
right.
You, and if your brain is shown to respond to it in a scanner, then your brain is responding to it. You may not call it hearing, but there's something going on there.
Yes.
Whether that's through harmonics with stuff you do hear or why it is, that's for someone else to explain.
Your liver responds to 7 hertz, but it's because it's falling apart. It doesn't mean anything in terms of acceptance and perception.
So I can't tell you what it does or doesn't mean. I can tell you what I've read, and that is that there is a response to that frequency. I can't tell you what that does for you. I can't tell you if that makes us happy, if it makes us focus, if it makes us go to sleep. Although I think there's probably science that can answer those questions for you. But essentially, sort of to the point of the story, is that the fact is that losing that buffer, losing that barrier of the physical connection, and will improve streaming. And it won't just improve the streaming for your phone to your ears, it will improve streaming for your Sonos or your wireless Bose system or whatever, because it's going to force the industry to change. It's going to force people to respond to consumers who want audio to work with their new iPhone. And other people, other technologies can take advantage of that and really kind of, you know, benefit from it to make, you know, seamless audio throughout the house sound better, sound greater.
Now, as a man who edits video, can we talk about latency, please?
Oh, yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, Christ, it's gone quiet, hasn't it?
doesn't this say that there's faster data throughput? So you would hope latency's a little bit better. There'll still be some there, I'm sure, but you would hope it would be better.
Richard, when you do the next episode of Human V2, instead of doing it with wired earphones, do it with Bluetooth headphones and try and get your snap point correct on the playhead in Final Cut Pro.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying, but that's with current technology.
Yeah, sorry, the whole point is we're driving forward, right? So the fact that Bluetooth 4 is pants is not a point anyone here is arguing against.
So why don't you lose the technology when you've got Bluetooth 5 as opposed to when you've got Bluetooth 4, you fanboy?
But that logic, we still have floppy disks.
No, that's not the truth. That is absolutely not the truth whatsoever, Bart Bouchard. Thank you for throwing that line in, and I grabbed it, and I've got the mealworm that you had on the end of the hook, because now you're winding me in. Good, well done, mate. I'm sorry, pal. If you're talking about the technology years, and I go back to Steve Jobs' 2013 thing here at All Things D, and he said we hitch ourselves to the technology that's ascending, and I'll go along with that. I think they're absolutely right, and I think that's the right policy, no question. Is the absence of 3.5mm jacks the technology that's ascending? I sit and I work with a camera that has a 3.5mm out. And I needed my assistant a few weeks ago to have a Bluetooth feed so that he could position the microphone. But I put a Bluetooth dongle in, and the Bluetooth dongle was probably about 3/4 of a second delay, maybe a second. That's a lot in audio. That is massive in audio. And he's sitting trying to position a microphone with a 1 second delay on it, because that's the only way we could get two feeds out of one camera, because I had the wired connection into my ears. And the wired connection is the one that is the one that you want, because it is latency free.
And okay, but you haven't gone to no wired connection, right? So the box still contains a little thing to stick a 3.5mm jack into your ears if you want to. The box is designed around good high quality digital headphones, which are not going to have any latency. And for most people's normal use, Bart, which is listening to stuff as they walk, the wireless is perfectly fine.
Don't believe your own hype there. Come on, dude. Once you've got
what headphone can you not stick into the iPhone 7 that you could stick into the iPhone 6? Zero.
No. Absolutely.
Does the box contain an adapter? Yes, it does. What headphone can you not use now that you could use before? None. You have lost nothing.
I don't believe that.
You can't answer phone calls and
stuff. I think ultimately the point is that
I think this is a good discussion. Right, don't get me wrong, fellas. I think this is a great discussion talking about whether we can do without analog audio. I think this is a great discussion, so let's carry on with that, because I'm totally with it, but I won't necessarily agree with you.
That's fine.
Just to make a point, in case anyone's sort of thinking, oh, bleeding hell, I don't about the iPhone. It isn't just the iPhone, and everyone seems to ignore the fact that the Motorola Z dropped the headphone jack long before the iPhone did. When they brought the Motorola Z out in, I think it was June, something like that, they lost it as well. So there's other companies other than Apple who are making this move.
Well, for video editing, you're obviously going to want a direct physical connection, but how many people video edit while out jogging, cycling, whatever? I mean, that's not the iPhone's normal use case.
Two different things here. So you're talking about the fact of playback to just listen to Hall & Oates while you're cycling.
Right, yeah. A very common use case, right? And
everyone listens to Hall & Oates. So I don't have a problem with that, because I couldn't care less whether it's delayed or not. But if you're talking about audio for when I'm editing something, I do care about latency. And there is latency there with Bluetooth. I'm sorry, but there is. Sure. Absolutely.
There is. And what I'm trying to say is that hopefully this kind of brave maneuver will allow the industry to realize that the current methods, the current technologies just aren't good enough. So that in 5 years' time, that you will be able to do that with wireless audio technology. And that's what I'm trying to drive home here. That's the ultimate sort of moral of the story.
Right. So if we're talking about cell phones dropping 3.5mm jacks in purpose of Bluetooth or in purpose of lightning, fair enough, I don't have a problem with that. What I'm saying is that the industry is now looking at what's happened with the iPhone and going, oh, Christ, we should drop 3.5mm jacks everywhere. Steady on, chaps. Because actually, analog audio is something that everyone likes. If you said that you were going to drop all of the 3.5mm jacks, this Skype wall would not work.
But couldn't the Skype wall work just as well over a USB-based audio? I mean, there wouldn't be any extra delay on that kind of stuff. The only reason you have extra delay on the Bluetooth is because of the wireless shenanigans. I mean, you can have digital audio just fine through a wire. It doesn't have to be a headphone jack wire.
Bart, steady on, mate, because you are the man. You're talking to the man who has gone to the frontier and looked over the precipice. I have done.
Go on.
I have done the USB 3 audio interface on the Skype wall, and there is so much delay that it is impossible to get even close to what we currently have in terms of not just about the fact that what behind me actually compares with lip sync. I'm not talking about that because that's always out. I can't deal with that. I'm talking about the fact that you guys can't hear each other in lip sync. We've done it. We've done it 3 or 4 years ago, and we couldn't manage it. And that was under the US. That was under the USB 3. And it
okay,
didn't,
so
it didn't
my understanding
work.
Is that DisplayPort, which is a digital standard, also does audio. Isn't that digital audio? Isn't that going proper real time?
But you can't. So the Skype wall doesn't work unless I go into a desk, and the desk then has to go into a FireWire audio system, which I've tried that with a USB 3 audio system, and it's too slow in comparison to the FireWire.
And so FireWire is digital, though, right? It's not an analog system.
Yeah, exactly, but it goes to
okay, so the loss of analog isn't the issue.
But it can't work with a USB 3 system. I've tried it.
Okay, but it does work with another digital port, which is your FireWire port, and I'm sure it works with Thunderbolt as well.
But from the computer, I have to use analog into a desk, otherwise I can't do mix minus. In the fact that you hear everyone else back but yourself.
I'm sure we can manage to get digital signal through a cable. Just because we can't do it right now, I'm sure we can manage that.
But my point would be, sorry, Bart, and sorry, Terry, because I agree with you, I would love to do what we can do right now rather than what we can do in the future. Don't say that we've done this now so that we force the future, because at the moment, actually, you've done something that causes latency, causes problems. And if Apple was to rip away, and any other company was to whip away the 3.5mm jack or worse, then it causes issues to people. And the GarageBand generation is out there using GarageBand and Logic and Final Cut and iMovie to produce content for YouTube, and they would be severely impacted by latency.
Right, but we haven't come to the stage where it's been ripped out of the laptops yet, right? We're ripping it out of a portable device, which is
it's
not...
Gonna be. You know it's going to be.
It's going to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, but it hasn't happened yet. So when it does happen, then it's not going to happen immediately in all devices. It'll probably come out of a little 12-inch MacBook first, but it's not really the kind of machine you'd be using for your video walls and video editing. It'll be a long time before it comes out of the MacBook Pro.
Well,
I am prepared to eat my words on that if I'm proved completely wrong, but...
I don't know. I think it's a great debate. I mean, whether we need analog audio anymore in the world is a fantastic debate. Do we need it or not? Because I think we do.
Some people think the short answer is yes, because all audio has to convert to analog so you can hear it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So keep it in analog to start with, because then it's in real time.
Depends on how it got there.
Because it's anyway. Not, it's, it, it, there's delay. There's always delay with digital audio conversion.
But there's still a DAC in that headphone jack. Because while it's in the computer, it's not an analog. So the DAC is at the back of that little jack. So there's still a DAC in the equation. There has to be. There always will be.
I would love to see what happens with the dongle when it's put onto a soundboard out of an iPad for someone. So they hit the soundboard trigger and see what the delay is. That would be interesting.
Well, it shouldn't be any different to what it was before, because the DAC has just moved a few inches. There was always a DAC there. There's still a DAC there. There can't not be a DAC.
Because it goes to 3.5. I accept that. But now, is it going to DAC out into 3.5 times 2?
Well, no, because it's coming digital as far as the little converter jobby that Apple gave you in the box, and then the DAC is there. So it's one DAC. It's just moved. It used to be on the motherboard, physically behind the headphone jack, and now it's 3 inches to the left.
So let's do a quick straw poll. Who's in favour of losing analog audio out of your computing device, Rich? Said the man on the USB microphone, by the way.
Yeah, I'm on a USB mic. What's wrong with USB mics?
Nothing.
Okay.
What's your view, Rich?
I'm not a power user, so I think I'll be okay with that.
You're the cycling man, nothing more. Jeffrey?
I'm not okay with it today, but in the long term I am, because I think the technology will advance enough that the latency issues that we have right now won't be a problem in the future. So when that day comes, I'll be fine.
That's exactly my view. And my point is, when there's no latency, I'm hitching my wagon to that. Absolutely.
So, yeah. And until then, I will keep plugging headphones directly into my computer for when I'm recording and editing shows.
Okay. Camps.
My use case now, I don't think I'd miss it. If I was doing the video, I was doing the audio editing that you guys are doing, yeah, absolutely, I would. But for what I use my MacBook Pro today, I don't think I'd miss it.
Just for everyone's knowledge, I use a set of Audio Technicas here, and they're plugged directly into my computer so that I can hear the audio at the best level that I possibly can with the least latency. So, there you go. Tez?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to say goodbye to my headphone jack in any shape or form, especially not after spending £500 on a pair of headphones. but what I will say is that Wizards, the other high-end headphone brand, have produced a converter, a Bluetooth converter that allows you to convert these into... if I can just get off there. I can't get that off. There we go. So it allows you to convert them into Bluetooth headset.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the earpods, definitely. Because they fit into my MTEX. So there you go. And Bart, I know what you're going to say.
Supremely don't care. If they go away on my Mac, it won't stop me buying a Mac. I don't care. It would make no difference to my life whether it was there or not.
Said the bloke on the set of wired earphones.
Yeah, but I've been using USB headsets for years. It wouldn't affect me. It's like, okay, fine.
Come on the next show.
I wouldn't
lose sleep
over one way or the other.
Come on the next show in Bluetooth and I'll agree with you.
No, we're not going to come on Bluetooth, but come on in USB.
All right, come on USB then. Pure USB in and out. No 3.5.
The headset I use in work almost every day is a USB because that's just what they bought me.
Okay,
I use them day in, day out.
I'm joking,
fine.
But never mind. Who hasn't done the story yet?
I haven't.
What's your story, Bart?
Mine is quite different, but it is technically tech. The Chinese are going to drop something on our heads sometime in 2017. We're not quite sure where and we're not quite sure when.
Is this going to be a really good, valid discussion or is this going to be scaremongering?
No. So they have a space station. Their first space station, I'm going to mispronounce it if I try to say the Chinese name. So it translates to heavenly place.
That was in Gravity, wasn't it, the film? She went to the tiny space station to get a Soyuz capsule because it was a clone of that to come back down to Earth.
Well, they have two because their second one is up there as well. But basically, their first one was decommissioned in March. Well, as in they stopped using it in March. And it's now run out of the fuel it needs to keep itself in its high orbit. So over the next year, its orbit is going to decay. And that process is going to accelerate as it gets closer and closer to the atmosphere and the drag increases. And then it is inevitably going to crash in an uncontrolled way. Because unlike Mir, which they left enough fuel in to deorbit it in a controlled way, so they basically aimed for the Pacific, which is quite a large target, and they succeeded in hitting the Pacific. In this case, no one's aiming at anything. It's coming down, and we think it'll happen in 2017, and the Chinese have promised to tell us when.
Well, that's mighty wide of them.
Isn't it very nice of them? But no, it's interesting because it's their first one. It should put on a nice show. But it is a lot smaller even than the first US space station way, way, way back that was Skylab. So it's unlikely to cause any sort of serious catastrophe, but it might just put on a really spectacular light show if it happens to come down over your part of the world.
I'm pretty sure, though, I remember reading something once that said if anything like this comes out of orbit unexpectedly, just the sheer proportion of the Earth that's water versus land and how much of that land is actually populated by people... The odds of it hitting anywhere populated are incredibly small.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very small. Most of the Earth is wet or empty. So, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it, because also the vast majority of this thing is going to burn up. It's not that big. Well, okay, it's bigger than a car, but it's not huge. Like, I have it here. It is only 8 tons in total. It's 10 meters long and 3 meters diameter. So, as space stations go, it's pretty tiny, actually.
Guaranteed to land in my garden.
My house says bollocks. My house says bollocks. I'm sorry. If you shove something into space, you've got to know how to bring it down safely. That's not okay.
No, it's not okay. Definitely.
It's not okay. And yet, here we are.
You can spin this how you like, Bouchards. I'm sorry,
I'm not defending the Chinese. I'm just telling you it was going to be a light show sometime in 2016. That's all I'm saying.
Anywhere, anytime. It's the Martini descent.
Right, and there is actually video on the net of when they took Mir down, because it was visible from parts of Australia as it came in for its final plunge.
That was the Russians, right? And even the Russians knew where Mir was going to come down.
Right, yeah, they did. They planned it well. They left fuel and they did the maths and they basically pointed it in the right direction, gave it a few last spurts of it, you know, the last little spurts of fuel it had, and pointed it at the Pacific, and Campion's, they were pretty darn accurate.
Campion's doing the show in his underpants. Have you noticed that just now?
What?
Campion's doing the show in his underpants. He's just gone to the loo and he's gone out and he's wearing his frigging underpants. Campion's doing
I wear them too, but I'm also wearing other things.
I always put pants on.
Campion's doing no pants.
He's got stockings and suspenders on, I think.
No, he was wearing pants, but he wasn't wearing trousers. There's a difference. I'm sorry. If you shove something into space, you've got to know where it's coming down. That's just
or at least leave enough fuel that you can, I mean, basically the general idea is that you would leave enough fuel so that at the last minute you can intentionally push it into the atmosphere when you know its orbit is going to naturally take it somewhere safe. Yeah, exactly. That is polite.
That's got to be rule one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Is there a discussion that you want to have around this? Because otherwise I don't see that there is.
I thought that was a cool story.
It's a cool story, don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure what the discussion is. Here's Campion. In his pants.
And his sussies.
Rather missed.
Oh, Caps, you're gonna have to watch the show again, mate, to find out.
We were just talking about China and the moon, the full moon that we've all just...
Oh, I'll get that on video playback.
Yeah, you will, definitely. Thank you, Bart. I'm not sure what I'm going to say there, but 8.5 tonnes, 10.4 metres long. How much of that burns up, mate?
The vast majority of it will. Like, stuff gets pretty hot in its way, and there's very, very little left of Mir when it finally hit the ground. Actually, when the Americans deorbited their first one, Skylab, one of the papers actually gave a prize if anyone could find a piece and bring it into their office. It was like $10,000 or something, and some guy in Pennsylvania, I think it was, had a bit fall in his garden, and he hopped on a plane and he picked up his money.
No.
So could be lucrative.
Nice.
There was quite a lot left over from the one that didn't survive re-entry for NASA, wasn't it? I can't remember it wasn't Challenger, because Challenger was the takeoff, but what was the one that burned up?
Oh, yeah, Columbia.
Columbia, there was a lot left over. There was full helmets and all sorts.
Yeah, but remember, it was this spacecraft designed to come back in. It just didn't succeed in coming back in, so that thing was very well shielded and stuff. It was supposed to come all the way down. Whereas this is not, like, this is a space station. It's not designed to come down. It's designed to burn up.
Doc wants a piece to fall on Trump. Mate, you're not the only one.
It'll be like a scene from Dead Like Me. It'll be awesome.
Is 2017 not too late for that?
If ego, that would be quite an easy target, wouldn't it?
I've got to say, actually, this year's election is kind of like choosing between gonorrhea and syphilis.
Yeah, more like toothache and cancer.
Yeah, I'm going to go with more like toothache and cancer.
No, they're both shit. There's no question.
No, there's, as we've said before, there are levels of shit.
Yeah, and I've got to say, come on, mate, don't give up. Who's got the audio? Stop off. Is that your expensive headphones failing again, Terry?
No, he's off the hook.
Leave the headphones out of this.
Leave the headphones out of it. I paid for 800 quid for these.
No, it's not me.
Okay.
No, it's totally me. For some reason, the webpage that, you know, with the streaming video keeps reloading, on me. I have no idea why.
I had exactly the same thing, Jeff.
Yeah, and then it's routing the audio out of the wrong speakers when it does that. It's really awesome.
Oh, cool.
It's coming out the wrong deck.
I just want to throw out the wrong deck, yeah.
Yeah, actually, yes, that's correct.
It's I just want to say thank you to other people who've piled in on Barry's comments last week about the fact that I don't now look like Colonel Sanders. You bastards.
I'd love some chicken.
I like it. Someone complimented me on the other day, that's enough. And it was a young lady as well.
Hey. Nice.
This podcast and all these brought to you by UK2. Please support them because they support us. They give us a server that's billio. It's massive. They give us unlimited bandwidth. We can put whatever we like on there and they don't care. And you guys can download it at any speed you like constantly because they don't care. Simple as that. Go to britishchatnetwork.com/UK2 if you're an existing customer and you want to sign back in. Go to britishchatnetwork.com/sponsors if you want to get all the offer codes. Excuse me. All the offer codes. You could wipe out your basket. You could have zero in the basket. If you just buy a domain, you get 20% off. No one gives you 20% off. That's it. It's superb. And also as well, if they've got an offer on domains, then you can take the offer on domains and then you can apply the British Tech Network code and they'll still give you that 20% off whatever the offer is as well as. It's incredible. Absolutely unbelievable. And if you're an existing customer and you want to renew your domains and you're thinking, oh, well, but they don't do renewals, they don't do new customers. Yes, they do. They do renewals as well. So put the codes in for your renewal and you'll still get the discount. Please, please, please support UK2 because they have kept us afloat for the last 9 years. It'll be 10 years next year. They're unbelievable. And if you possibly can, please tweet out, thanks for supporting BTN or at British Tech at UK2 because we couldn't do the shows without them. They've kept us afloat. Simple as that. And thanks to Hoyer. They gave us one of the Mac Minis that I've got down here. We still need one Mac Mini, though, however. If you want to donate, then please go to bageltechnews@gmail.com on PayPal and donate whatever you feel you can manage. Thank you so much to those people that have already donated. When we get all five done, then what we're going to do is send you an email and you'll give us an inscription that's going to go on the top of the Mac Mini and that will be there for eternity on the wall to my left. That will allow you to be a permanent feature in BTN HQ. And thanks to Hoyer because they gave us one of those, which is superb. I am wearing the brand new, do you like the look of these? There we go. These are brand new Avantex and Muller is using the Avantex as well as, but he's using the top loaders. These are the ones that have only got the single point of attachment at the top of them. They're absolutely gorgeous and there's so much less stress on the lenses so that you don't get any variance in the vision in the way that you look through stuff. These are milled, not ground, so that makes a huge difference to the stress that's put on the lens when it's manufactured and they are awesome. If you want to check out the Avantex, go to podcast@hoyer.co.uk and they will arrange a visit for you. You'll get to look at the glasses, you'll get to be fitted with the iPad just the way that we showed you on the shows. You'll also get the virtual reality stuff, which is how your prescription looks in a virtual room, and they'll feed your data into the virtual lenses and you'll get to see how it will look for you as you go on and what will be the difference between standard lenses and Avantex lenses as you look through them. They're absolutely awesome. Please check out Hoyer because they've been great to us. We appreciate them. Time for the cool things. Start us off, Dr. H.
So I thought I'd go kind of revisit something a little bit. I'm trying to kind of get the link here. And do you remember that a while ago I recommended the Blue Dio headphones?
I do.
Yeah, so I've loved having them and they've worked really, really well for me. But unfortunately the arm part on my pair cracked recently.
The other thing I can say is if you let them discharge far enough, they never recover because that's the problem I've had with them.
Ah, right, okay. So, I don't think I ever did that, so...
Yeah, I did. I let them go too far undercharged, and they basically catastrophically failed.
Oh dear, oh dear! But for the price, they were still awesome. So I decided to step my game up a little bit, and I had a look to see what their newest version of the same headphones are. They've improved their specs a bit. So they've now come out with the T3 version of it, which I've put a link to in the chat room. And on Amazon, they come in the staggeringly expensive £36 price. It comes, the unboxing experience of it is pretty good for a £36 pair of headphones. It comes in this nice kind of, you get a nice little fancy sort of, I don't know what you'd call it.
Velvet?
But yeah, like velvety bag to carry it in, which is nice. And they are foldable, so they're quite compact once they're folded down. The one thing I would say I'm not keen on is they're a bit rattly. You know, when they're folded, but they've got more like more metallic arms to them now. Try and move the back there, that's a bit better. So yeah, and you've got like the power control on the side, and this bit kind of rocks a little bit backwards and forwards to do your volume control and backwards and forwards and that sort of thing. I've found them really very good. They're very comfortable. They isolate the sound incredibly well, maybe a bit too well sometimes. And that's just kind of passive. It's not active noise cancellation. They're just very well cushioned. They're maybe a little bit heavy on your head, so you might not be great for prolonged listening. But the sound quality is excellent. And if you're somebody who likes deep bass, my God, these have got it in spades. So much so that if you've got the option on your device, you might want to use your EQ settings to tone the bass down a little bit, perhaps. But I'm kind of getting used to them actually, because I've been listening to them, I'm thinking, God, the last time I heard bass like that was when I was using my proper full-on stereo setup downstairs, which I never ever get a chance to listen to anymore. Hearing the kind of detail in the bass on these is impressive. And like I say, for £36, they are pretty good.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot of those Bluetooth earphones just tend to add bass more than anything else.
There's plenty of other sound there, Ewan. You know, if it was just bass, I would say, you know, not. But the rest of the audio range is good as well.
Good. Well done. A good pick. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate, apart from your coffee?
I have something that's a lot more fun than Bluetooth headphone arguments. A drone made out of Lego.
Oh, give over.
Seriously. So Flybricks, what they've done is put together a kit that's it's a drone. And it's all done with Lego bricks. And so you can buy the kit, and it has everything you need right there to build your drone. And you can control it with an iPhone, with a base model kit. Or you can buy the kit that has a full-on remote control in it, too.
Excellent. Wow. $149, $199, and $80 just for the controller.
Right, so if you want the controller, you buy the $189 pack, and it's a lot cheaper than buying the controller separate.
Definitely, because it's $149 without it, if you use the iPhone.
Right.
And I would always suggest investing in the controller.
There you go. And you know, it has all the parts, but if you have bricks of your own, you can trick it out.
I love the fact it's made by the Wrong Brothers.
Yeah, I liked that too.
Excellent. Well done. Top job.
Video.
Chris, what do you have for us, mate?
I've got a book this week. Where's the link? There it is. So there's the UK link, and I've got the US link as well.
Future Crimes.
So it's Future Crimes, Matt Goodman, former policeman, FBI, Interpol. He's written the book Future Crimes, and it's written a bit more as a story, but fact based story, rather than it just being a throw facts out. But I'm only part way through it. I'm only sort of 4 or 5 chapters in. But a friend at work recommended it to me. So it's the stuff covering Facebook, covering AK-47s being printed out on 3D printers, SMS crimes, so many things that's going to scare the pants off you to never touch tech again. But actually going into quite a lot of information in terms of how these things have been used, can be used, and also a few things in terms of how to protect yourself. But we talk a lot on the shows about tech related crime. It's something that when it was recommended to me, sort of caught my ear, and I thought I'm having a bit of that. I'm loving it. I'm, like I say, 3 or 4 chapters in now, and it's kind of got me hooked. As soon as the show's finished tonight, downstairs, cup of tea, read a bit more.
Good.
And Doctor's put in the chat room. It's on Audible as well.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Well done. Good pick. If you've got a review of the podcast, Go on the Big Show, please give it us on iTunes. We get loads and loads of reviews on the Mac Show, but we don't get an awful lot on the Big Show. And the Big Show would very much improve because of in terms of our standards on iTunes, if you gave us a review. Please, please, please give us a review. We haven't got any. Otherwise, I'd read them out. There we go. Tez, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a wallet.
Ooh.
An extra wallet. So this was a Kickstarter. I think probably around January, February this time, this year. But what makes it unique is a built-in tracker. So it uses one of the more sort of common trackers out there at the moment. I think it's actually aptly called Tracker. That's connected to your phone, so once the wallet is a certain distance away from you, the alarm will go off. But it's also got RFID and NFC blocking as well, so that you don't accidentally do any scans with it or anything like that. But what I really liked about it is, actually, as well as all of these things, it's got that kind of look and feel of a real decent wallet. I know it's on the pricey side, but actually, it's a decent. Oh,
sorry.
Carry on.
For a decent wallet, it's usually around sort of £60-70 anyway for a decent leather wallet. So paying that little bit more for this, I don't think is too bad for the tech that you get with it as well.
I love the videos. The fact that the guy's had a one night stand and worries why the girl's nicked his wallet.
First world problem.
First world, absolutely. And he's left a £50 note in it. Or 50 euro note.
Clearly has too much money.
Clearly. That ping is, you're a twat.
Why did she take his wallet? What a bitch. That was just unnecessary.
That happens all the time, mate, I promise you. Not that I have a lot of one-night stands anymore.
Your wife doesn't listen.
I'm just saying. Bart, what have you got, mate?
Well, As it happens, I have a pair of picks very much related to my news story. So should you want to watch as this Chinese satellite comes bunking in your head, you can track it using either a really nice iOS app, and it won't just track one satellite, right? This app tracks like all of them. So it's called GoSat Watch, and it's not cheap. It's €9.99, so I presume that'll be £7.99 or something, and I don't know how many dollars that'll be, but it's not free by any means. But you can see a map of the world with all the satellites where they are right now, or you can view the sky over you with all the satellites as they are now, or you can view all passes of all visible satellites for the next 2 or 3 days. You can turn on what you can and what you can't see. It'll send you alerts when they're about to become visible, all that kind of cool stuff. It'll play silly noises. You may have heard a few in the background. It's a really cool app if you want to go out and actually physically in the real world look at satellites, but you need to have an iPhone or an iPad and you need to pay $9.99. So there is an alternative that is entirely free, which is a website, which the maths behind it is amazing. It's a really fantastic data they offer, but it actually looks like it teleported in from 1990. Click on the link there. It's heavens-above.com or heavens-above.com. It is astounding how out of date this website looks. but it is really accurate and full of great information, and it's free, and you can set up a profile actually for free, and if you do, you can type in all of the various locations where you might observe from, because satellite predictions are very, you have to be accurate with your position or they're going to be completely wrong. So both the app or the website will tell you every time the International Space Station flies over, every time the Chinese Chang'e 1 flies over. Every satellite that you can see is going to be on the website or in the app. And if you've never seen one fly over, it's a really cool thing to watch. So I would recommend people give it a go either on the free website or buy the cool app. And maybe give it a go on the website. If it's your thing, then buy the app.
Excellent, mate.
That's cool.
Muller and I went out to the Long Mynd, which is a very high hill out in Shropshire a few months ago. And it's a... what's the word? It's not dark sky. It's a
introduction to dark sky.
Introduction to dark sky. So it's pretty dark, but it's not black. And we saw Muller saw his first iridium flare.
Oh, they're magic! Actually, both the app and the website do those. I forgot to say that. Oh, I love iridium flares. They're great to photograph.
Are awesome because you end up with this. As if you look at it in real time, you get this slowing, increasing blink until it looks at you, and it's actually quite a bright light that looks at you, and then it disappears all of a sudden, and you're absolutely convinced it's an alien spacecraft, and it's not. It's a iridium flare, and it's because they're triangular satellites that rotate, and they give you just this huge. If you photograph them, they're like a long, thin saucer shape. When you look at them on the photograph afterwards,
I have a couple of nice photos of them actually. Because basically, it looks like a tiny little spot, and then it just bursts into life, and then little spot again. They're magic if you've never seen them before, and they can be almost as bright as the full moon if you're in the middle of the cone of light they pass
out.
They
are very bright. If you look directly at them, they're quite blinding even.
Well, it depends on how close you are to the center of the flare. So if you get one that goes smack dab right literally over where you're standing, they're -8 on the scale, and -11 is the full moon, -28 is the daylight sun. So the brightest star is 0. -8 is bloody bright. They're very impressive things.
What was ours? 5?
Well, my cool thing would be the Long Mynd, because it was awesome. It was great. I shot a picture of the Milky Way up there, which is one of the best shots I've ever done of the Milky Way. So.
Excellent. So how long were you able to expose for?
I only exposed for...
the camera or yourself?
I was exposed for 15 seconds.
Depending on your eye, so that could give you a pretty darn nice shot.
I was sharp. It wasn't. I don't know where the picture's gone, but it wasn't. Blurred in the slightest. It was perfectly exposed. I messed around completely with it, but I've also got a Samyang 1.8 lens, which is manual. And that is beautiful. It's an 8mm lens. It's I used it the other week. And the weird thing is, if you stick it on the Sony camera that I bought, it gives you a black border. But if you put it on the FS5 that I have, the video camera, it doesn't. It's perfect. So I don't know what's going on with that, but. My cool thing would be the Samyang 8mm lens. It's
At 8mm, and at f1.8, you could actually get away, because it's a wide-angle lens, it slows everything down, you could get away with at least a 45-second exposure. And at f1.8, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be good. So I'm going to take that out the next time I go up to the Long Mynd. But the Long Mynd is my cool thing, effectively, because it's
sweet,
brilliant. And it's only an hour from where I live. And a speeding ticket.
Whoops.
Yeah, thanks, Muller.
That wasn't my fault.
I wanted to pay the £5.50 and go down the toll road, but Muller said, no, go down the main M6. So I went down the M6 and I got a speeding ticket. Thank you.
He could have not sped.
And I didn't sped. He knows I don't speed. So. Where can we get a hold of you, Dr. Rich?
Best place for most of my stuff, my YouTube and blog and all the rest of it, would be on Twitter at Rich Harkness.
And Human V2?
Human-V2.com, or search for Human V2 on YouTube as well.
You're crap at this. Every time you come on, you're crap at this. Human V2 is your outlet, mate.
Well, it all go, all get everything I do goes through Twitter though. So, but whatever.
Both. What's your Twitter account? What's your YouTube account? YouTube.com/HoobinView2.
I don't know.
You haven't set it up.
Yeah, I've got one. It's just Hoobin space V2, I think.
Ah, right. Okay. We'll get that sorted and then we'll do it, eh? Jeff, where are you, mate?
I'm sorted, so I know where to be found. Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut, and on gobs of podcasts, including Daily Observations at Mac Observer, and then Fresh Brewed Tales, where I write about the stuff I see people doing in coffee shops.
If Jeff Gamut's not tainted your podcast, it doesn't exist.
I want to point out you said taint.
Taint. There we go. Camps, where are you, man?
I'm Campino K on Twitter, generally on The Big Show, occasionally on The Mac Show, and lighter in Slack Room.
Good man. Where are you, Tez?
I am at Terry_CY on Twitter, and that's pretty much the only social sphere I'm covering at the moment. I'm not a very social person.
If that's your kitchen, how big is your freaking kitchen?
Do you want to see my kitchen?
Yeah. That's the whole of Shropshire.
Yeah.
You have a forest in your kitchen. It's that big.
But, oh, that's you're in the kitchen diner. That's not the same.
It's the kitchen. There's the wall.
You're in the diner, not in the kitchen. Oh, I'm disappointed now.
There you go. There's the dog as well.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a Sheltie.
Oh, right.
Little Shetland sheepdog.
Cool.
A mongrel, you mean?
Shh. Moving on. Moving on. Bart, where are you, mate?
You can find the two podcasts I do at let's-talk.ie. That's a monthly photography show and a monthly Mac show. And you'll find everything else about me at bartb.ie, including my Twitter, because no one could possibly spell it if I said it was at bbooshots.
And yes, I'll be back on the Mac show or the photography podcast since the last ones.
Yeah, have me on the Mac show sometime, because I'm always dying to talk Apple stuff, and you always have me on the one where I'm completely explicitly banned from talking Apple.
Can you come on at 7 o'clock at night?
No, okay, that's what the problem. Actually, now end of the winter's coming in. Actually, that'll get easier again because I'll have bugger all choice.
Right, so the Mac show is 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you can be there, we'll have you on in a heartbeat.
I'll tell you what, I have a week's leave coming up in a while, so I can do anything during a week's leave. So,
right. Write to Wheaters and get yourself on the Mac show. Wheaters. And you can come for me. There you go. Perfect. That was hard work. My name's Ian Rankin. You can get me at Ian Rankin on Twitter, and you can get me at British Tech on Twitter, as well as the whole network, effectively. If you want to send us some correspondence and slag off anything we've said, that's fine, because everyone does. It's at britishtechnetwork.com at gmail. britishtechnetwork@gmail.com.
Can I
take it home? Samyang, there we go. That's my Samyang lens right there. See, there we go. That's my Samyang 8mm lens. It's beautiful. See you next week. Thanks for listening.